Good morning. Happy Easter. Would you stand with us? Let's worship our risen King.
Highest, your name is the greatest, your name. Well, good morning, Chapel Hill. My name is Scott Lyon. I'm a member here, and I want to wish you a happy Resurrection Sunday. So we've just been singing about Jesus, crown and glory, our living hope, holy forever. And today we get to celebrate the truth that brings us to light, that Jesus didn't stay in the grave, that he rose again, and he reigns now as the King of Kings. So with that, because he lives, we're invited into a changed world. And we see the power of sin being forgiven. We see shame being broken. And we are offered a new life that we celebrate today. I'm sorry, totally just blanking because of this.
He is risen.
So today, if you have a prayer or you want to offer and take a next step in that journey, you can use the connection card within your bulletin, and we'd love to join in and be a part of that spiritual walk with you. And after the service, we'd love for you to join us for a pancake breakfast. It's just a simple way that as a church, we can celebrate today together as a family. So with that, we're going to join back into worship and celebrate the new life that Jesus brings.
Awesome. You can stand with us. Everyone give it up for Scott. We love you, Scott. That was not his fault. We put him in this box that he's never been in before, and he just like didn't know. So we love you. All right, Jesus is alive. I'm sorry. Jesus is alive. The old is gone, the new has come, so let's just celebrate that new life with him as King. Let's give him all the glory. Goodbye, yesterday.
Goodbye, yesterday. I'm living in the light of a new day. I won't waste another minute in my old ways. Praise the Lord, I've been born.
Clap along.
I've been born again.
Let's sing again and again.
Again and again and again and again. You rescued me out of the mess I was in. You traded my sorrow for something to sing. Now I'm dancing on the grave that I once led in. Goodbye yesterday. I'm living in the light of a new day. I won't waste another minute.
Goodbye, yesterday. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. have a seat.
Good morning. This is Resurrection Sunday, and I'm so glad that you made the choice to join us here this morning. My name is Paul McVitie. I'm the lead pastor here at Chapel Hill Church. I've been on staff at this church for a long time, and I grew up as a pastor's kid. In my lifetime, I have experienced a lot of Resurrection Sunday services, and I can honestly say this. The story that brings us together to celebrate Easter never gets old. Whether this is your 50th time hearing it or your first, the story of Jesus rising from the dead and leaving death in the tomb behind is incredible, it is life-changing, and it is deeply personal. Through the Easter season here at Chapel Hill, we've been focusing our thoughts on one particular aspect of the Easter story. We've been reflecting on Jesus' identity as the one true king. Last Sunday, we looked at the famous Palm Sunday story. Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem for Passover, and a crowd gathered along the road to hail him as their king. A prophecy had been spoken hundreds of years before that contained the words, "Behold your king." This prophecy was fulfilled during Jesus' arrival in Jerusalem. As he came to his people, riding on a donkey, identified as the deliverer that God's people had been waiting for. And then on Good Friday, another voice spoke the words, "Behold your king." This time it was Pilate speaking those words as he was handing Jesus over to be crucified. On Friday, we recalled the last seven statements that Jesus made as he hung on the cross. Hanging there to die on a criminal's cross, King Jesus spoke to his Father of forgiveness for those who crucified him. He offered salvation to the criminal next to him. He made sure that his mother would be cared for. He cried out to his Father as God abandoned his Son for a moment and poured out his wrath on his only Son instead of on us. Jesus asked for something to drink to fulfill another prophecy. Jesus declared that the work his Father had given him to do was now finished. And in loving surrender, he committed his spirit into the hands of his Father. And Jesus did all of this as a king. What he did for the world is impossible to accurately describe. The sacrifice of Jesus is an act of love and mercy that will never be equaled. And it all happened because God loves this world that much. He was willing to sacrifice his own Son and take out his wrath on him instead of on the ones who deserve to have his wrath taken out on them, us. When I was young, I surrendered my life to Jesus. It wasn't a one-time cross-the-threshold kind of experience. When I was 9 years old, I accepted the truth about Jesus and asked him to forgive me and save me. I wanted that new life that comes to those who put their trust in him. I said goodbye to the direction that my life could have taken, and I chose the way of Jesus. But later in life, in my 20s, I realized that what Jesus was offering me was more than just an opportunity to choose the right thing over the wrong thing. He was offering me the opportunity to choose him. God was calling me to be his. And the process of growing in that reality of being God's is what's driving the words that I'm sharing with you this morning. I am a follower of Jesus. I didn't just arrive at Jesus. I'm following him as he moves and acts and redeems his world. I'm part of that. I have to choose that every moment of every day, and no, I am not doing this perfectly. Jesus, thankfully, is a very gracious and persevering king. He gets how hard this is, but he calls me to follow him every single moment of every single day. Now, as most of you know, I am proudly Canadian. Even if it, why are you laughing at that? Come on. Even though it was a rough year for Canada in Olympic hockey, I will always be a patriotic fan of my national teams. And as a Canadian, I belong to something called the Commonwealth. There are 56 member countries in the Commonwealth. 15 of those countries, including mine, recognize a king as their head of state. Now, until 2022, I lived my whole life under the reign of Queen Elizabeth. Now, King Charles reigns over the Commonwealth. And what does all that mean for me? Well, actually, you probably know more about that than I do. Because apparently, Americans seem much more interested in the royal family than Canadians are. But occasionally, I do hear something about my king, even if it is mostly in the entertainment news. And here in the U.S., there's a lot of talk about kings these days. As I thought about the message this morning, I almost switched gears and ditched the king theme because of all that's happening right now. But as I thought about it, I was reminded that there is a statement that needs to be made this morning about this whole king thing. And the statement is this: there is one true King, and his name is Jesus Christ. Amen. Earthly kings will come and go. Some will strive to represent the kingship of Jesus, and others will not. They'll serve themselves. But the truth is that Jesus is, he has always been, and he always will be King. The prophesied King arrived in Jerusalem, and he was applauded on Palm Sunday. The prophesied King was nailed to a cross on Good Friday and was sacrificed in love for the sake of redeeming the world. And the prophesied King left his tomb empty, defeating death and offering new life for all those who surrender to him as their King. Now, here at Chapel Hill Church, we've been studying part of the Bible called the Book of Matthew. This is an account of the life of Jesus. It's one of many such accounts. Matthew records the resurrection of Jesus. Jesus' followers had witnessed his crucifixion. They saw him die. They watched as he was buried in a nearby tomb. The body of Jesus had been buried for a few days, and according to Matthew, this is what happened on the third day. He writes, "Now, after the Sabbath, toward the dawn of the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning and his clothing white as snow. And for fear of him, the guards trembled and became like dead men. But the angel said to the women, 'Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he has risen as he said. Come see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead, and behold, he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him. See, I have told you.' So they departed quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to tell his disciples. And behold, Jesus met them and said, 'Greetings.' And they came up and took hold of his feet and worshiped him. And then Jesus said to them, 'Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there they will see me.'" So the women who came to the tomb did exactly what they had been told to do. They found the disciples, they explained to them what had happened and what they were supposed to do. The disciples followed their words and headed for Galilee, and this is what happened next. "Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age.'" Jesus was alive. Hundreds would bear witness to that fact. And that testimony would reach me 2,000 years later, and I would embrace, as so many have, the fact that King Jesus is alive and sits on the throne of God, where he will reign forever. As I said, when I was much younger, I humbly accepted this truth and then ordered my life around it. But why? Well, I came to recognize long ago something in my life that competes with something else that's very powerful in me. I recognize that I need a king. And I can state with absolute confidence that we all need a king, every single one of us. And that's a truth that doesn't sit well with human beings. When sin entered and corrupted this world, humanity made a bold move. We put the wrong person on the throne of our lives. We put ourselves there. Because we are all born with that inclination. Our culture even affirms that for us. We are our own kings, captains of our own destiny, and some even promise promote the idea that we are our own gods. Yet the world still needs and wants earthly kings. And we get caught up in trying to determine which earthly kings we'll choose to follow. That allegiance depends on whether or not they agree with us or they can benefit us in some way. Now, I'm not going to argue that the world does not need leadership. It does. God recognizes that. And he has an active interest in that reality himself. It matters to him. But all earthly leadership and authority was meant to fall under the sovereign reign of King Jesus. And who is this King Jesus? Well, let's think about the things that we know about him. Maybe the most spectacular thing that we know about King Jesus, certainly on this particular day of the year, is that he has absolute power even over death. I need a king who has absolute power. Jesus, after having died a sacrificial death for the world, rose to life again and left the empty tomb behind. An angel rolled away the stone that sealed the grave so that the women that had come there and so many others could see that the tomb was empty. And Jesus went on to show hundreds that he was alive. The power that was demonstrated in Jesus' resurrection impacts so many things. King Jesus has power over death. There will never be another king who can conquer death. The sting of death was taken away by Jesus. We don't need to fear death anymore because those who put their trust in Jesus join him in the experience of eternal life. Yes, this life that I live right now will end. This weak, flawed body of mine will give in someday, and I'm okay with that. But my spirit will join Jesus for eternity, and I will be given a new perfected body because King Jesus defeated death. King Jesus also has power over sin. I was born with a sinful nature, just like the rest of you, and we deserve to be punished for that sin. King Jesus took the punishment for our sin and for the sin of the world on himself and paid that debt in full. Sin no longer has that power over me. King Jesus has broken that chain. When I think about King Jesus, I have so many more thoughts about the kind of king that he is. King Jesus is a king who always keeps his promises. Perhaps my favorite promise that King Jesus made is the promise that he's coming back. Jesus said that he will return to earth to finish the work of redeeming what he created. I know for a fact that he will keep that promise. And one day soon, Jesus will return to make everything new again. I'll actually get to live face to face with my King for all of eternity. When he comes back, King Jesus will bring the fullness of his kingdom with him. His kingdom is a kingdom that cannot be shaken, unlike the earthly kingdoms all around us that rise and fall all the time. His is a perfect kingdom, and the church, like this one, is a place where we get to experience just a taste of what that kingdom will be like forever. And no, we are not perfect. But Jesus uses his church to show the world who he is and what matters to him. King Jesus is a deliverer. He has the authority and power to deliver us from things like darkness, loneliness, hopelessness, weakness, fear. King Jesus and his kingdom bring freedom. Lives are set free. King Jesus is the king that I need. He came into this world with absolute authority. He lived and taught in such a way that his kingdom became real and accessible for all of humanity. He invited everyone into his kingdom. He left no one out. He looks at his creation, all of it, with deep, unconditional love and compassion. No matter what we've done, no matter how firmly we've placed ourselves on the throne of our lives, no matter how far we've wandered from the vision that God had for us when He created us, we have been invited back by King Jesus. And with open arms, this King says, come. Come to me, those of you who are weary of what this world has done to you. Come to me, those of you who have been selfish, judgmental, even hurtful. Come to me, those of you who have ignored or rejected me before now. Come to me, all of you. You are welcome in my kingdom. I have the authority to forgive you, and I have the power to transform you. There is no other king who can make this kind of offer. Only King Jesus can. Only King Jesus can forgive. Only King Jesus can transform. And He's ready and willing to do that in every one of our lives. This is King Jesus. So what then is King Jesus looking for from us? There are two main things that struck me in the resurrection story this year. Once again, I was drawn through the story to all that Jesus has done for us. His sacrifice, His humility, His compassion, His obedience, His faithfulness, His promises, His amazing character, His grace. King Jesus has done so much. The Easter story is such a beautiful account of what He's done for us. And then it hit me. And what can I do for Him? Yes, this story is about all that King Jesus has accomplished on our behalf and for us, but it's also about what His people can do for Him. Looking back at the resurrection story, something happened twice that should be a clear answer for us regarding what we can do for King Jesus. Matthew 28:9 has Jesus meeting the women who came to the tomb after they left to tell the disciples what had happened. What was their response to Him? It says, "And behold, Jesus met them and said, 'Greetings.' And they came up and took hold of His feet and worshiped Him." Then in verse 17, Jesus encounters the disciples on the mountain in Galilee, and this happened. "And when they saw Him, they worshiped Him." Yes, some doubted. We can understand how that might happen. But both the women at the tomb and the disciples on the mountain gave King Jesus what He deserved. They worshiped Him. Earthly kings are not worthy of our worship. King Jesus is. The King who defeated death and the power of sin is worthy of our worship. And the second thing that we can do is this. It's found in an invitation that King Jesus gave His disciples in Matthew 28:18-20. "And Jesus came and said to them, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age.'" King Jesus has all authority in heaven and on earth. He is the one true King. And even knowing who we are and what we're like, King Jesus invites us into His mission of redeeming all things. What can we do for Him? Surrender. We can surrender to Him. Jesus is our King, and we owe our lives to Him. Making him king means that we are no longer our own. We belong to King Jesus. Belonging to King Jesus means more than just receiving all that he's done for us. It means surrendering all that we have and all that we are to our King. The new life that Jesus offered us when he defeated death and the grave is a life that belongs to him. Will we make him our King and surrender our lives fully to him, to his kingdom, to his purpose for our lives? And so this Easter, thank King Jesus sincerely for all that he's done for you. There is no king like Jesus. Worship him for who he is. And as subjects of this king, let's surrender fully to his authority in our lives and join him in his mission to redeem the world that he's created. He is King Jesus, and we belong to him. Will you pray with me now? And as we come before the Lord this morning, in the quietness of our hearts and minds, we make a genuine, honest statement to Jesus and tell him that he's your King. Just say in your heart and mind, say, Jesus, you are my King. And I belong to you. And if you have never received this truth about Jesus, if you have never surrendered your life to Jesus and invited him to be king in your life, there's no better opportunity to do that than right now. He's listening. So if you haven't done this before, just simply say in your heart and in your mind, in sincerity, say, Jesus, I need you. Please forgive me. Jesus, I want you to be my King. I surrender to your authority in my life. And I want to be part of what you're doing. Thank him for dying on your behalf in your place. Thank him for the new life that he offers. If that's your prayer this morning, something that you just haven't done before or done sincerely, in the quietness of this moment, with all heads bowed and eyes closed, will you just raise your hand for me so that I can pray for you? If this is your prayer, Jesus, I want you to be my King, just put that hand up. Father, I do thank you for all that you've done for us through Jesus Christ. Thank you for loving us so much that you were willing to give up your Son, to sacrifice him on our behalf. And to offer us a new life. Help us, Father, to see that this life that you've given us, this new life, is not ours. Help us to see that we belong to you. remind us that we have a King, and His name is Jesus. Help us every day, every moment, to surrender ourselves fully to His authority, to His plan. To join Him in what He's doing in this world. God, this season is such a phenomenal reminder of all that You've done for us. Let it also be a reminder of what we can do for You. Thank You for the death, burial, and resurrection of King Jesus. For everyone who raised their hand, who talked to You this morning about making You King of their life, we just guide them, guide their steps, guide them to a place where they will hear this truth reemphasized over and over again, where they will get to taste Your kingdom, even in its imperfect state, where they will get to taste love and community, family, purpose, hope, joy. And God, make us the church that You desire us to be, representing Your kingdom here on earth, representing a nation of people who follow Jesus, who surrender our lives to His authority and His plan. God, we love You. We worship You for this tremendous celebration that we call Easter. Bless us in this day with Your presence, Your power, and walk us forward into the plan that You've laid out for us. We surrender ourselves once again to Your authority, to Your power, to Your plan, and we do this in the name of Jesus Christ, Your Son, King Jesus. Amen.
You can stand with us, and I know some of you are already thinking about breakfast, but let's not miss this chance. Just love on our Savior, enthrone Him on our worship. Let's lift our voices together and fill this room.
Save me, how great.
Revelation, there's a vision of a great multitude that no one could count. Every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, and they cry out in a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God, who sits on the throne, and to the Lamb. And on his robe and on his thigh, he has this name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords." And all of heaven joins in the song, "Worthy is the Lamb who is slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise. To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be praise and honor and glory and power forever and ever."
Yeah.
just to bow down before your throne. See your face, I'll cry out because you're whole. Holy, holy are you, Lord. Jesus, King of Kings.
Thank you.
I wasn't ready.